Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, Mots, we are back. Episode 169 of the Rink Shrinks. What do you say? You ready to go?
Let's go. This episode is presented by Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game betting, contests, and all the player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team and remember to use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
All right, Mots, let's get into things here. We got a mailbag episode coming up. Obviously, a lot to catch up on after our last week's episode. So how's the family? How the kids doing? How's hockey? We're kind of, you know, entering the end of the high school seasons here in Massachusetts. So talk to me.
Yeah. Everything's going well. We got the fair season coming to an end. Rye had a couple games that he couldn't participate in with his broken wrist, but the boys split over the weekend and he got back to action. They had a win on Wednesday and they have a big game against St. Sebastian's to finish off the season. They need a little bit of help to get into the playoffs, but they're playing pretty good hockey right now. And it's always a good matchup with St. Sebastian's, good rivalry game to really get the juices going. They had a senior day on Saturday. So the fam got out on the ice and took a few, snapshots, a little slick out there in the boots on the clean sheet. I was a little nervous. Had to hold on to the boards.
You should have busted out the old spot belts.
I know, right? Those trainers, the little cleats.
Yeah, with the cleats. Yeah, fun. Yeah.
I was actually able to do the BCU Mass game on Saturday as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it was good to get over there and see some people that I haven't seen in a while. My nephew, Lyndon Alger, playing for UMass. So it was great to be able to call the game with him out there. And it was a pretty exciting game. Second period, it was like a little bit of a track meet. Ryan Leonard ended up with a hat trick, local kid. It always must sting when he plays well against UMass because of the ties that he has there. And
I was going to say, his brother played there, right?
Yeah, and his dad was an assistant basketball coach as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And I love his game. You know,
I love it. I love his
game. Wrecking ball out there. And Brooke had a game against the Wizards. Very strong girls program. And they came up on the losing end 2-0, but put in a good showing. So all around, a little excitement. It's kind of tough because I was thinking about it. It could be potentially the last high school game for Rye, and you know the emotions and whatnot from not only him but mom and dad. You know, it's
right.
It's been quite a ride, and take it all in on Friday night.
Yeah, and I think they use that little extra motivation for not playing the going into a shootout or an extra overtime in the Valicente Cup to motivate the boys and come out with a W on Friday night.
That's right. Yeah, no, it's going to be great. You know, it's going to be a packed barn with their senior night. And, and again, it's cool because everyone knows each other and you play hard against.
A lot of them play together in the fall.
Exactly. So looking forward to that. Let's catch up a little bit on the tail end of your Q trip here. And it's good to have you back.
Yeah.
And that was a fun episode last week with the boys. Did they enjoy it?
They did. And I want to thank you because the kids were, it was the buzz. The kids were all excited. They were all really happy. They were listening. You know, even Liam's like, so Dad, when does the episode come out? And I'm like, every Friday, kid, for the last, you know, 3 years.
Yeah, thanks for support.
I go, like, I'm glad you've been paying attention. I go, now that you're on it and your teammates, you're going to, you know, download the app or whatever, or download the show. So I even asked him on the way home tonight from hockey, I go, oh, did you listen to the episode last week? And he's like, yeah, yeah. He's like, I listened to it that Friday morning as soon as it came out. I'm like, unbelievable. But they were excited. And obviously being able to chat with you, the kids are really pumped about. And you had some nice questions for them. You were like, it was like you really prepared for it. You had a couple mixed it up between, you know, the hockey questions and behavior and meals and all that. It was great.
Yeah, it was fun to chat with those guys. You could see how excited they were to, you know, number one, be there. But I thought that was a great great idea to have those guys on and hear it firsthand, you know, just the excitement and, you know, the experience from those guys' point of view, because, you know, you're kind of a dinosaur at this point, talking about your experiences at the Q. But at the end of it, though, it was a lot of fun to do. And talk about how things shook out.
Yeah, so it's good to be back stateside here, and I think I've sweated out all the Molson Canadians and poutine out of my system with it being later on in the week here. But it was great, great tournament, you know, great showing for the team on Saturday. You know, we ended up playing Mid-Fairfield, which is more or less a rival around here. We play them quite a bit and always very good competition. The Videotron Center was packed. There had to have been, I would say, estimated like 10,000 people at the game on Saturday. Wow. It was really jammed. The Quebec Junior Nordiques, who were in like the AA division, they had played right before us. So even getting to the rink, like, you couldn't find a parking spot anywhere near our typical spots where we had been parking previously. And so it was a packed house. They came out very strong. We went down a couple goals early. We fought back and, you know, clawed our way back into it in the third period. And, you know, kind of we did. We left it all out on the ice. Ended up being a 4-3 game. Mid-Fairfield did go on and ended up winning it. And I want to chat with, so the team we played in the first round. So for those that don't know, if you lose your first game, you basically go into a loser's bracket. And you don't play in the Videotron Center, but there's an opportunity for you to win your way out of it. So all the teams that lose their first game, they go into that bracket. So the team we beat in game one, Samaya, who ended up winning their way out of the bracket and made the finals. If you win your first game, now you're in the winner's bracket, and then it's basically it's sudden death. That's why every game was so big. So we had a few, you know, really big wins along the way. And ultimately, you know, the first game that we lost, we lost on Saturday to Mid-Fairfield, which was, you know, it was obviously difficult, right? You hate losing. And at that point, you're going home. So, but it was a good run. Like, everybody that I've talked to just to make it to Saturday in the Pee Wee Quebec tournament is a big deal. And it really came down to, you know, it was us in Mid-Fairfield and then the LA Junior Kings and the Detroit Junior Red Wings, which is more or less Little Caesars. We were the four teams that were still in the winner's bracket on Saturday. LA ended up beating Detroit. Obviously Mid-Fairfield beat us, and then Mid-Fairfield beat LA, and then Mid-Fairfield ended up beating that Samaya team from the loser's bracket. So it was, you know, great time, great competition. You know, a lot of downtime, like, and as a coach trying to balance like exhibition games and practices, letting the kids have fun. The cool thing is there's a rink on every corner out there. So when we first got up there, it was a little bit warm. So the outdoor rinks were a little bit slushy if they didn't have a refrigeration system. But by the end of it, we were able to like walk a couple blocks up and just go play shinny, which was, it was awesome. Like, and that was a pretty cool experience for the kids. So it was a blast, and, you know, something that these kids are never going to forget. Unfortunately, coming out on the losing end, right? But there's only one champion. So congrats to Mid-Fairfield. They're obviously a good team, and you know, we'll play them again soon, because we usually do, you know.
That's great. I mean, and again, being part of that that tournament and the hockey culture up there with, you know, like you're saying about the rinks that are on every corner and, you know, just the city really embracing the Pee Wee tournament and making it as special as it is, you know, for the kids and the parents, mm-hmm. making it an experience. So that's awesome.
Now I got one thing for you. So we have typical mass holes, right, where everything's kind of rushed. But when you go to a restaurant up there, and I don't know if this is just Quebec City, you know, I can't remember from my other travel experiences, but when we walk into a restaurant, it could just be me and you, the only two people in the restaurant. It literally takes probably 10 minutes for the waiter or waitress to come over and ask you if you want a drink, if you want something. It's like the most bizarre thing. And I know that we're a little bit like, we're so used to just going, right? And I think it's like a rule at any restaurant, at least in Massachusetts or New England, where if you don't have a beer in your hand or a drink in your hand within the first 3 minutes of sitting down, like most people are probably getting up and leaving.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the tip is reflected being like, oh, yeah, this person doesn't even care for us, doesn't even know what's going on. Yeah, you want to have, as you sit down, You want your drink order in, or maybe even an app.
You know? Yeah, like well, that's what I'm like. This place is loot. I'm like, we need to open up a restaurant up here. It would just be, I walked in. So the night
would it be well received though? With like the patients just used to the slower pace?
Yeah, it's, you know, Alan's up in Canada and he's saying it's 7 to 10 minutes easy. But yeah. Liam and I went to eat on Friday. It was just him and I. So we were at the Videotron Center. We watched the Pens, the Pittsburgh Penguins team play LA, and there was a couple other games. So it was like good day of hockey. And then I was talking to Ben McManamer and Chris Collins, Greg Collins, the guys from, you know, BC boys, UNH guys from BK, and hanging with them. And then just Liam and I went to eat. It was probably 5:30, like, so kind of pre-dinner time, like, you know, blue hair special type of people are the only ones there. We went to a sushi type place, right? There's 50 tables open, like 50. The place is enormous. Walk in, hey, table for two, do you have a reservation? No, I don't have a reservation. Okay, well, we can't seat you. I said, and I'm not like that confrontational when it comes to the service industry because I just don't really get it. I never worked in it. I'm like, really? I go, there's at least 50 tables open. Like, well, am I missing something here? They're like, well, we have some reservations coming in at 7:30. So you have to be done by 7:30. I go, it's just me and my son. I go, I'm going to have a Sapporo. I don't even need a menu. We're going to order like a spicy tuna roll, some edamame and whatever. Like I said, we'll be in and out of here in 30 minutes at the most, depending on how quick you guys are. They're like, okay, well, you just have to be out of here by, you know, 7:30. I'm like, lady, it's me and my son. I'm not coming in all of a sudden with a band of people. Like I go, it's a table for two. We're going to be in and out of here. Literally, if I have one drink and a couple sushi rolls, we're going to be in and out. Like,
yeah, in and out like a fiddler's elbow.
It's sushi. It's not like you even have to cook the fish. It's already ready. You just roll it up. And, but I'm like, if I own this restaurant, I'd be like, think of it, how much money you're losing. I go, how many other people did you turn away before me? So long story longer, I ended up getting a table and getting in and was,
yeah,
in and
you bullied your way in.
I had to. I'm like, dude, I just drove 10 minutes. Like, I just want to eat something, then go back to the hotel and relax. You know what I mean? We have a game the next day and it was good. But so yeah, fun trip to Quebec. Obviously good to be back stateside and catch up on the other boys games. Right. Cause I hadn't seen those guys play. We were gone for 10 days. So, it'd be fun. We're heading out to Cushing this weekend. Brian has his end of the season little tournament, and Colin's team just were able to watch them play Wednesday night versus Winchester High School. They qualified. That was senior night as well. I saw, you know, Rob Motto was all buffed up. He had the first time I've ever seen him not in, you know, work boots or something at a game. He had the gel going and everything. I go, "Why you're looking like Mike today?" I go, "Some people might be mistaken you. You got a college shirt on. Where'd you get that thing from?" And but he, you know, they had a nice senior night ceremony on the game on Wednesday night, and then they went on to win. And I think they'll slide into, they're obviously in the Catholic Conference, and I think they'll slide right around in the, you know, top five in the MIAA kind of ranking. So it'll be interesting to see how that matchup, you know, what type of matchups they get. I know they have a home game will take place next Wednesday night. They're not sure who their opponent is, but they made the tournament, which is pretty good. And obviously Colin as an eighth grader to be out there and playing and competing with those guys is fantastic.
That's great stuff. Yeah, gaining experience. That's the biggest thing that I can see from this year and, you know, from all accounts, because I haven't been able to catch a game, but he's been playing really well and being able to make mistakes and continue to play, which is huge. And right. That's going to only serve him well moving forward. Yeah, exciting time for playoff season. And again, like I mentioned earlier, hopefully Thayer gets a little bit of help, gets a win and gets a little bit of help, and they can extend their season, make some noise in the playoffs.
I hope so. We're pulling for those guys. All right, before we get to the mailbag, there's a couple things we want to chat about, but it was pretty cool to see Jaromir Jagr's number 68 retired in Pittsburgh. I know they had a big ceremony. Great, great quote about, you know, his girlfriend not even being old enough to remember him playing for Pittsburgh. but it was cool to see the tribute and him on the ice with Malkin and Crosby and Letang and all those guys and some of the legends that were there that he played with, obviously in the 90s in the Pittsburgh era. I mean, that was like prime time for us growing up watching Jagr play. He was such an animal.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like such a blend of, you know, speed, powerful speed,
yeah,
puck protect, size, had the hands, and his work ethic, as you learn later on, was just unparalleled. You know, working out after games, and it just shows, you know why he was able to play at a high level for so long. But yeah, what a talent. And you know, the hair was just amazing. You know, when everyone came out with the mullets, and I was hoping that they would sign him for a one day contract and let him at least play. But yeah, play one shift, because he would have been fine, I think, you know. Just,
oh, he definitely would have been. He looks the same as he did when he played in Florida and everything.
My only worry when, like, he's getting a lot of attention is, like, they'll play his, like, top 10, you know, highlights, and I'm victimized big time on one of those. It was a bad change. Sylvain Lefebvre hung me out to dry with a bad change. It was a bad turnover in the neutral zone.
And you were on the Rangers at the time, but he wasn't on. Who was he?
He was on Pittsburgh.
For? Oh, he was still on Pittsburgh at the time?
Yeah. Yeah. It was 2000. Okay. Yeah. And it was just, it was kind of interesting. I think I may have mentioned this before on the podcast, but we all got everyone, the video guy made a highlight tape of everyone, and I didn't play much, you know, that year. And, you know, there was a couple plays on there. It was kind of neat to see. And then all of a sudden they put that on there, even though it was a low light, you know, getting smoked by Jagr. But it was just funny. Like, I would like slow it down. I'm like, I went stick on puck. I hit it. And he like toe-dragged it out of the air and then, you know, made a move on the Holmquist, the goaltender. And he was off in the corner. And there was like a camera angle shooting right at him. And he was just like shaking his head like it was too easy.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, boy. And it was an ESPN game. Like, my phone's blowing up after the game. Like, hey,
welcome look at the puck. NHL. Exactly. Yeah. Hey, at least that's just, you know, if anybody ever's like, oh, that's that Mike Motto guy. Yeah, I remember him. He played in the NHL. There's your proof.
I remember him looking up at the rafters, you know, looking for his jock. But it was a great tribute though for a great player. And he, you know, he really made a stamp not only on that organization, but on the league. Yep. And he's one of a kind. I think he has to turn his phone off on Father's Day sometime, you know, like each year. So.
Oh, absolutely. Speaking of your former teams too, the Islanders, they're going to host the 2026 All-Star game. And so the All-Star weekend and Olympics are going to be in the same year, but that's pretty cool that the Islanders, obviously we were down at that, you know, new arena for Keith's, for Keith's game. What was that? The Iron Man.
Really nice facility that down there, and it just it's built for hockey, so the right. sight lines were great. And yeah, and I actually got a email about, I think we were, when we were talking about to Bills, Josh Bailey, because they reached out about a alumni weekend, I was a suitcase right. about a bunch of I would like to kind of, get back involved in some of the teams other than just Boston because I'm local here, and just get down there. And it's great to move the All-Star game around, and that facility will be fantastic. And they'll do a really good job at hosting.
I caught up with former guest Marty Reisner after one of our exhibition games, and we were talking about you and all that stuff. I know you guys were together on the island too, so it was he was asking for you.
Yeah, he's one of the best. He really is. Yeah. Like playing in college, like I talk about him a lot, and then how he converted his game, selflessly to extend his career and be a valuable asset to a team and not show up on the score sheet. Like he's such a great example for some of the younger guys coming through when we're on the island, like Josh Bailey, and Tavares was kind of in a different level where he had to produce and whatnot, but like he really helped a lot of players throughout his career. And but he was an exceptional college player as well, just
unbelievable. And then the speaking of the Islanders, obviously we had the stadium series took place. That looks like pretty cool. Obviously the Flyers and the Devils this past Saturday, and the Islanders and Rangers on Sunday. It was cool to see. What was the rookie's name from the Rangers? Obviously, he had a fight. He did the lap at the at the football stadium. I can't think of his name. It escapes me right there. But imagine your first NHL game. You're playing in front of 75,000 people at Matt Rempe.
Yes.
But big that was boy. Unbelievable. Ben and gets in a fight, Matt Martin gives him a fight right off the bat. Like how to get into it.
Yeah. That's something that you're always going to remember. I watched both games. I watched the Devils Flyers game a little more closely. And, they did a really good job there as well. Just getting the crowd into it. The Rangers, the Rangers Islanders game was a real doozy, back and forth. Islanders, let up, give up the lead, but what an exciting environment to play. And I think I was listening to, it was Witt, I think brought it up about maybe moving that to different areas and kind of like making it like a little beanpot in regional areas, so go to Western Canada. And I thought that was a really good idea, on his part to, and then you get like Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, Winnipeg, something like that for the following year. And because it just generates so much buzz around the game.
Yep.
And, some maybe non-hockey fans tune in and see the quality of play. And, the production was great, like from TV, it wasn't like you're so far away. But, I thought it came off great. So good on the NHL to get creative and really showcase the game the way it should be.
Yeah, no, it was pretty cool. And obviously we got the 2025, they announced that Ohio Stadium between Detroit and Columbus and then Wrigley Field is the Winter Classic, right? Which is the Blackhawks and St. Louis Blues, two unbelievable venues, right? To have the, Ohio Stadium, Detroit and Columbus will be awesome. And then obviously anytime you can get to Wrigley, whether it's a hockey game or a baseball game, forget about it.
Yeah. And as Gary Bettman was mentioning when he said that the game next year will be held at Ohio State, it's like you got over 100,000 people, ready to pack a stadium. So it's going to be, I think it's so great that they're, just trying new avenues to grow the game. And, I think it went off great. So good on them. And good to be a fan at this time right now in the NHL.
Absolutely. Our boys down in Franklin, I saw them. They had their street team out there at the, you know, at the stadium series, which is cool. But Franklin Sports is the official street hockey partner of the National Hockey League. Check out their line of NHL, official NHL street hockey games and training equipment at franklinsports.com. Today, what do you say, Mots? We get right into the mailbag here.
Yeah, before we do, today, February 22nd, 44 years ago today, Miracle on Ice happened. Ooh. U.S. beating the Soviets. And
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, it was just interesting because I was like, I popped my computer on and Miracle was an option to watch on one of the, I think I went on YouTube or something like that. And it was like the full, you know, version of it. I'm like, oh, I got to watch that. And then I went on something else and I just wanted to click on something like to just do a little research for some reason on the 80 Olympic team. And it was like, today was the day. So it was just right. Weird that it was today. But after like going through it, like I actually went down a little rabbit hole and, you know, kind of seeing what some of the guys did after they won the gold. And, you know, there were some really, really quality players that had long careers, and the guys went off and, you know, became oral surgeons, pilots, yeah. You know, a lot of banking. But it was a pretty monumental step for USA hockey. And that's like understated, I would say, because it was, you know, the time of, you know, say like political climate, everything, like everyone just like rallied around that win. And, you know, the USA hockey really took major strides forward after that.
Yeah, no, it's. I'm glad you brought it up because it really did. 1980, obviously, you know, a little bit before my time, but when it really did, it changed USA Hockey. It's changed everything, and we see the trajectory that USA Hockey's on now with all these young studs that are in the league. And you know, back then it was even like, and they talk about it in the movie, right? The, you know, Massachusetts, Minnesota guys, and now it's changed where you look at Austin Matthews, a kid that grew up in Scottsdale, Arizona, just scored his 50th goal last night in the NHL, right? And so it really did, the growth of the game and the way USA Hockey has really risen on a national level is it's awesome, and those guys have a lot to do with it. And I'd love to get one of those type of guys on. We got to make some calls, try to get a Jack O'Callaghan or a guy like that on the show. Guy with some Charlestown roots, it brings some to the show,
little flavor. Yeah, and you know, Dave Silk's around. I could give him a call, but it'd be really cool to hear firsthand experience. I mean, they've done thousands of interviews, but to hear, you know, kind of from their point of view, some of like the emotional side of things, or like, you know, they didn't really know what they were doing. You know, they were just kids, and just kind of, you know, hoping to, you know. Play their best and represent their country. But, you know, they really made, you know, a lasting impression on so many young hockey players, and maybe they have a little bit more perspective now, and I would love to hear their stories. So yeah, well, let's work on that. It would be good. It'd be fitting.
You had seen the movie before though, right?
Yeah. So when I was with, I was in Cincinnati, it was Anaheim's prime team.
That's when it came out.
Yeah, Disney. It was a Disney movie, and we had the theater to ourselves. It was like a sneak pre, you know.
Oh, no way!
A showing.
That's
and funny. I actually didn't even know that Herb Brooks had passed prior to that. Like
around the time. Yeah,
he never saw it. It was, you know, pretty sad stuff.
Right.
But yeah, it's a great movie. I think it's one of the better hockey movies out there.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. And I think what makes it too is you have kids that, you know, a lot of the actors actually played hockey, right?
Yeah.
Like guys like Bobby Hansen was in it that played at BU. Mike Mantenuto played at Maine. He was Jack O'Callaghan. Bobby Hansen was Dave Silk.
Nate Miller, Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a bunch of like, so it was the hockey scenes were like very realistic. You didn't have like, you know, one guy that was a righty skating down and all of a sudden he's on a breakaway. Now he's a lefty, you know what I mean? That side of the production was done really, really well. So it's a great movie. It's a good one. It was funny though, when you popped it up, I'm like, wait, you saw it before, obviously, right? But so
No, it is a good one.
Rewatch. You had it on tape.
Yeah, I did have it on the VHS.
you had it on tape.
I actually bought it.
Those were DVDs.
I bought it on demand. So it's like in the, you know, when you go to your stuff, I have
it. Oh, it's in the queue.
Yeah, it is. So I can watch it whenever I want. Sweet.
Oh, that's great. All right, let's get into the mailbag here. Hey, fellas, longtime listener, originally from Moose Factory, Ontario, cousin of former San Jose Shark, Jonathan Chichu. Great goal scorer. But living in Sudbury, Ontario, just a quick question in regards to my daughter. She is currently playing in her very first year of hockey as a six-year-old in U7. She has really improved since her first skate of the year and continues to develop well. As she moves on to U9 next year, I have been contemplating whether to switch her to all-girls hockey or keep her with the boys for the time being. What would you recommend she plays? Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, Jonathan Chicho was a great scorer. He was a shooter.
He could fire it.
Yeah, and streaky. You know, you don't want to be playing against him when he's on one of those heaters. But thanks for the note here. I would say, you know, U7 as a 6-year-old, and going to U9, that's a pretty big jump.
I think that's how they do their mites up there, like the 2 years. So she's got to go to that next level, right?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, I really enjoyed this time because, like, the development and the progression and the improvement is so apparent. Like, you can really see it when you first, you know, kind of introduce the game and have them, you know, skating and continuing to develop throughout a year. It's pretty cool. So enjoy that. But I would say continue to play with the boys as long as you can. You know, just as long as her safety isn't in jeopardy, I would continue to, you know, have her play with the boys. And then when the size differential, and like we've talked about this before, but when they start to check, that's definitely a time where you really have to take a look at it. There's only like a few girls that I know that continue to play after checking. But I would encourage you to, you know, stay the course with the boys and make her, you know, work for her touches a bit. If it's too much, you know, you just kind of wait and see though. If it's too much, then you can make a decision, but that would be my opinion.
Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head. If she's good enough and can continue on, and the team wants her, then you stay with the boys. And if you need a supplemented, I know like you've done with Brooke, right? Where she played with the town with the, you know, boys and girls, and then just a girls only team. But if you can get away with it and you can play on the girls team, on the boys team, you do it for as long as you can and go from there. I mean, there was some girls that I saw up in the Pee Wee Quebec tournament that were still playing with the boys at Pee Wee Major. You know, these kids are basically call it U13. Some of them are turning 13 now. They were good. They were really good.
Oh, yeah.
When I tell you they were good, they were legit, really legit. Yeah. So why not?
No. So yeah, that's kind of our stance on it. And, you know, just again, make sure you keep an eye and monitoring the safety along the way.
Absolutely.
All right. I got the next one here. This is titled Packing Coolers Before Bags. Thanks for everything you guys bring. My question concerns our U10 team. It seems that our parents sometimes are more concerned with drinking than they are the experience of the player. I would love to address this as a coach, but I have other coaches who will partake from time to time in the parent experience. This will happen before games, between games, and after games or practices. I currently had a coach who was not able to go on the ice due to this situation. Oof. I'm not against drinking or having a pop after a game, just when it seems like it might be on the bench or in the stands on a consistent basis. I tend to have a problem with it. Am I overthinking? Is this something that is common at all organizations? And if not, what is the best way to address? Because of this, we are currently thinking about moving our play, even though we love the coaching/development. Overall, and the arena is convenient, but it is not the experience we want for our player. Thank you for all guys you do, and hope to hear from you soon.
It's a good question. It's definitely, you know, definitely sounds like the drinking team's got a hockey problem. It's 10U. I think that, you know, it is a bit part of the culture, and you have to kind of, you know, tailor it to where you want it to be, and you've got to be smart about it. But obviously, as coaches, I think as coaches, you know, and I was just away for 10 days, right, with the team, and you try to enjoy it and be part of it and be part of it with all the parents and have fun with them. But, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, your job's to coach. So, you know, there was a lot of the nights where I did, like, you were in a hotel, but I would go back to my room and kind of watch them. And we talked about on last week's episode, right? Like, watching some games, watching some film, watching my other kids type of play and stuff, and kind of being responsible. So I think there's a certain expectation for the coaches that they can't be, you know, banged up and not able to go on the ice or on the bench. Like, whether you're a head coach or an assistant, I can see having a beer or two or something like that in between games at lunch. But if you're putting yourself and others in that position where you as a coach can't be on the bench, then that's a serious problem.
Yeah. And if, you know, from what I read here is, you know, he's one of the coaches, right?
Right.
So I would just have a honest conversation with the other coaches, you know, and just be like, hey, you know, let's try to dial this in for the kids. It's not like so much you can just kind of put it that way. But to your point, I think the coach has a responsibility. I was in that situation with parents all the time as Ryan was coming through, and, you know, after the game possibly, or if you're on a tournament trip, definitely, but not when it gets in the way of, you know, your job and your responsibility that you signed up to do, and that's coach the kids. And I think that's one of the areas that you could talk to the other coaches about. Who really cares about what the parents are doing? You know,
yeah. I think the parents are the parents. Like, I see parents on a Tuesday night practice sitting out in the parking lot having a couple, and you know what? Like, that's fine. But you're going, like, I'm going on the ice. I'm going to, and I'm not saying my team. It probably is my team, right? Maybe they're down the street. I don't know. But we're going on the ice and we're going to practice. And by all means, like, I mean, I'm the first guy that after a game sitting around the lobby of the hotel or at the restaurant downstairs, like, hey, I'll put a shift in as good as anybody. You know what I mean? But when it comes to, like, you know, before games, in between games, you gotta kind of keep it between the rails. So I think, like you said, Motz, it's talk with the other coaches, have that type of conversation. You know, the other parents are going to do what they got to do. You don't really need to address it with them.
No.
Where I would address it with them is, like, if it's affecting the kids and, you know, they're say at a tournament and the kids aren't going to bed because the parents are out all night or something like that. Like, and then it's affecting the team on the ice in the morning or something like that. But, you know, I think the parents are the parents and the coaches got to kind of have a conversation and dial things in a bit and not be banged up on the bench. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that, you know, you talk about, like, discipline and, you know, accountability and all that stuff for the kids and the players. So I think it's very easy to just have a quick conversation with the coaching staff to apply those principles to their coaching philosophy.
100%. TSR is located up in tax-free Salem, New Hampshire. Obviously, you can get all your equipment up there, CCM, Bauer, you name it. They got it all. You can hit them up online, tsrhockey.com, if you can't make it to the store, and they will take good care of you. You can also reach out to their team store, 603-912-5970. Unfortunately, you know, we're at the end, you know, almost at the end of February here, which means tryout time and next season's around the corner. So it's time to talk to those guys and set up your fittings for next year for your organization or your teams and make sure you're looking pretty. You got the new uniforms all dialed in, and those things are going to happen at this time of year. You got to get a jump start on it with those guys. So reach out to Mike or Dave up at the store, at the team store, 603-912-5970. Or as always, go in-store in Salem, New Hampshire, or visit them online, tsrhockey.com, for all your shopping needs.
Yeah, just get the swag game going early. You know,
it's important.
Organization as a team, and reach out to our boys at TSR Hockey.
All right, summer team thoughts. Does $1,200 for a 10U summer team, mostly players from current team, but a few local area additions. Seem like a value for three tournaments and practices. What is a reasonable price? I know you guys preach making sure it's not a money grab, but what is normal? Tournaments are CCM, Chi-Town, another in Chicago in May, and then one in Vegas in July. Coaching is great. Struggle because it is setting up like if we don't do this, our spot might be jeopardized for next year. Kind of feeling with the additions of the outside kids. Aren't many other programs to join, and my kid is all about hockey. And yes, he does soccer in the fall and spring, and none of the tournament dates conflict with soccer. Might be a little bit of overlap in the practices, but they are manageable. What are your thoughts? I would say the price right off the bat for three tournaments travel, it's pretty reasonable, I would say.
Yeah.
Like we just talked
about three tournaments.
Yeah. And practice.
Breaking it down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is a reasonable price. That's what I was going to say. And you know, those tournaments, I know the CCM, they do a good job at getting good, you know, competition there. And, you know, if you're in the Chicago area, I'm not sure where you guys are, but, you know, Chicago's a good town to always visit. And then going to Vegas, I mean, that's never
what can go wrong there.
So yeah, I mean, you know, you pick three good tournaments, and this is part of, you know, a group that you're familiar with, and you know, there's some you know, extras coming in or some new players. I don't know if, you know, you should weigh it as it is a jeopardizing for next year if you don't do it. If you truly don't want to do it, then don't do it. Right. But it just seems like, you know, like what we talk about is, you know, you pick a couple tournaments, you know, three for you here, and you kind of go with it, and you stay on the ice periodically with those practices. It seems like a good setup for me. And, yeah. You know, and with the, you know, familiarity with the kids and parents, it would make it a little bit easier. But, again, like that would be something that you kind of have to work through, with the organization or the coach. You know, if we don't play, are we, you know, just be honest, right? You just come out and say it. If you don't feel like doing it, or you can't afford it, or there's, you know, vacations lined up or whatever it is that you might not be able to attend fully. So, but I right off the rip here and kind of like reading through it, I think it's, you know, a pretty good setup.
Yeah, I would say it's probably a pretty good setup, I think, with that price. And some people are probably listening and probably like, you guys are insane. It doesn't sound that crazy to me with the three tournaments and the practices. Obviously, you know, you're going to be traveling to, at the very least, Vegas. I don't know if they're from Chicago, because there's two Chicago tournaments kind of listed on here. But you're definitely going to be into it for some, you know, you're talking a couple thousand dollars at a minimum, never mind what you lose at the tables. But it's one of those things. I wouldn't be, as a coach or as an organization, I mean, some people do put a little bit more emphasis on like the spring hockey and stuff, but like, I would never put my kids in a predicament where it's like, if you don't do it, you know, we're going to push you out the door. So that's kind of unfair. But my first thoughts on are like, I don't hate it. It's $1,200. It's reasonably priced. It doesn't seem like they're, you know, going after like the money grab piece of it. They're offering some practices and tournaments. So I think it's pretty reasonable in terms of financial. And then, you know, but I would have a conversation, like you said, Motz, if you're not that into it, or maybe you can't make one of them or something, then like, you just up front and have a conversation with the coach and be like, hey, listen, here's our deal. Maybe we can do just the two local ones and not go to Vegas, or you know, just the one in Vegas, and we'll leave the kid behind. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think with the practice, you know, in there too, like, and if you're getting enough ice time and you break down the cost per, I think it seems pretty reasonable. So,
yeah.
Well, thanks for chiming in here, right? So,
yeah, no, it was a good one. It was a good one. Well, speaking of tournaments, the hottest thing is always deciding on a place to eat, but it really is a no-brainer. Colony Grill is home to the famous hot oil pizza and one-of-a-kind razor-thin crust. It's comfortable. It's friendly. It's run by hockey people, and there's always a game on. If you're heading down 95 in the Connecticut, Westchester area, or if you're in Maryland, Florida, or Virginia, there's probably a Colony Grill close by. Bring the team in, order it to the hotel, or pick up a steaming hot pie on the way to the rink. You'll agree that Colony Grill lives up to that hot oil hype. To find the nearest location near your next rink, go to colonygrill.com today.
I could use a slice right now. I'm starving.
Yes, you definitely could. And we're talking to, we got to get that set up, our trip down there, but that's, we'll talk about that later on. Next one, and this is a nice fastball here. Best gifts for coaches, none of the basic stuff they get. I like to be different. So that's just a simple one. Obviously, we got the end of the year, people talking coaches' gifts. What are your thoughts? Any favorite gifts in the past, Mots?
Yeah, you know, you go with the typical stuff, you know, like the gift card for coffee or...
Well, none of the basic stuff. They don't want that.
No, I know. So I'm trying to think off the board that's something that would be pretty cool to receive.
I got one while you think.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I mean, some really good, like, work warm gloves. Some gloves. Yeah. Something you can wear on the bench for the following, you know, forever. If you hold on to them, don't lose them. But, you know, gloves. I think something functional.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gloves and some long johns.
Yeah. What do you have?
No, I was gonna say, so the up in Quebec, when you're, you know, you, before your first game, they bring you in and they do a team photo. And the parents and the kids kind of all chipped in and got myself and the other coach a nice framed picture of that with all the kids of our team photo with all the kids kind of autographed it, which was a cool one just to have. And, you know, I'll throw it in the Hall of Fame at the house here, you know, put it on a wall probably like 20 years from now or something. But it was a really nice, you know, gift to get from the team, just from being up there and everything, which was nice. But as far as, I mean, that was Mots, like you with the non-basic stuff. And I think the gloves, like, especially with the rink, that was you crushed that.
Yeah. Well, I just,
how about a golf trip?
A golf trip. Yeah. Something where you
dozen golf balls
for the end of the season. Yeah.
New whistle.
New whistle. Yeah. So in Miracle there was like the the whistle and then the what's that called? The whip.
Yes,
the whip from Herb Brooks. I like the gloves.
A goofy scene.
But the gloves are kind of, you know, it means you're thinking of you know,
your warmth.
The warmth of the coach and you know, again, functional gifts are really cool.
Yeah, that's a good one, Mots. I like that.
Or maybe a new lawnmower.
Dozen golf balls never hurt. Golf balls. New driver.
You looking? You're talking to your parents right now.
I'm talking. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, thanks for the picture, but I could really use that new driver.
Yeah.
Some new irons wouldn't be bad. Trying to think of what else. Gas card.
You're just gonna make a list, just kind of float it out there, and then your next email to the team.
We're gonna have to put that out on an Instagram little poll here and get.
Yeah, some, no, I think it's a great.
You
know what? Question.
You coming up with some new mittens? That's a good one. New, yeah. You know what? For you, it would be like some new pair of coaching shoes, so you don't slide on the ice. Like the bring back the old spot belts.
Spot belts, yeah. Or those little cleats, you know, like the strap-on cleat. That would be actually a decent one, because it is sometimes when you have to walk. I mean, there's only so many ranks that you have to walk across.
Which I try to never.
Me either. After the game, it's fine because you get a little traction.
Right.
But I mean, those cleats
look goofy though.
I know. If I saw another coach with those on, I would absolutely rip them or I'd have
100%. You look like a clown.
So X that off the list. Yeah, you don't. That's
cleats.
Golf
the cleats.
The old school.
That'd be a good gift. Yeah, I'm going everything golf that I say right now.
You can see that you're already thinking towards the, you know, the flowers starting to bloom and starting to work on your swing. You're doing some mirror work.
Exactly. Exactly. I gotta get some workouts going. No, that's a good question. Speaking of great gifts to give. Sparks is the at-home or on-the-road skate shopping machine. Sparks saved our life up in Peewee, Quebec with the kids skating all the time. They were in, you know, different ponds. They were on outdoor rinks, stepping on God knows what. Thank God we had the Sparks shopener up there with us. Different wheel sizes, whatever fits your shopping hollow, we had it up there, which was awesome and really was a lifesaver instead of driving across Quebec City trying to, you know, hoping and praying that there was going to be a pro shop available and open to shop on our skate. So make sure you head to sparkshockey.com, order your machine today. BY Mott's will get you that $50 off your Sparks shopper. So again, it's the gift that keeps on giving. We love it. We didn't leave home without it this time, Mott's. It was huge to have on the road with us, and it paid off in dividends.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it's so convenient and accurate. And I actually got a FaceTime from my daughter just to kind of, you know, because I went down and did it for her last time. She just wanted to just double check, and she just snapped it right in there. I was going to have her align it, but I aligned it the last time, so it was good to go. And, you know, she just got a nice buzz before her practice tonight. So she's all set and so easy and convenient to use, like, you know, like it says here. And, you know, make sure you check out sparkshockey.com and use BY Mott's for $50 off. All right, I got the next one here. This is Kids Away at USHL Frosty Cup. This is absolutely a scouted event, and they do a great job. My question is around points and posting results based on what the officials say. God bless those guys in stripes and fast-paced games with only two of them out there, but often the points are missed or incorrect. Does this matter? And people say it doesn't, but I don't believe that. So if it does, can't we have someone there making sure they are correct through video? Maybe I'm nuts, but if we are advertising the points, they must matter. And if they matter, let's get them right.
Yeah, I know that this Frosty Cup, I mean, it sounds like the parents and that coach's email up above, they're at the Frosty Cup every weekend. But the USHL Frosty Cup, I know, it's like 14, 15, 16. So you're getting to that age, and like he said, he or she said in this message, it's definitely a scouted event. So to have two referees on the ice at this age group, I think is a little bit crazy, and you know way you're going to get the points correct. So I would say it's kind of a shame that they don't have three of them out there, a referee and two linesmen, to make sure that they have the points correct. And then I do agree with this. Like, it's a scouted event. The points, you know, everybody wants their cookies. And if you miss an assist or you miss a goal or something, then it kind of stinks for you, right? Because if you're trying to get scouted and trying to get noticed, you want to show up on the score sheet a little bit. You know what I mean? As much as it kind of pains me to say that, but if you get a point, like, you do, you deserve it. So somebody at the very least should be watching the video and making sure that things are being accounted for correctly in my eyes, especially at a big event like this. It is the USHL Frosty Cup is a big event. There's a lot of high quality teams there at that, you know, 14, 15, 16 year old age group. And I agree with it.
Yeah, I would say, you know, if it's a scouted event and there's eyeballs on the game, you know, the points don't necessarily matter if you're playing correctly and someone's watching the game to really scout. But that doesn't always happen. That doesn't, right. You know, someone might not be there for one game. and, you know, they're another game, and, you know, there's points that maybe have missed. So what I'm saying is, yes, it's important to get it right. And you mentioned it. If you deserve a point, I'm all for it. So it does get skewed. Some people might say it doesn't matter. And like, I'm kind of wavering here, because if it is like an actual scout with eyeballs, it shouldn't really matter, because if you're getting scouted, you're not getting scouted just because you're getting points.
Right.
You know, it's obvious to see if you're generating offense, or you're putting the puck in the net, or you're creating something. A lot of these times, you know, the second assist that got, you know, chipped off your shin pad, you know, that's what, you know, people are kind of complaining about, where, yeah, you deserve it because it hit your shin pad, but did you really have an impact, you know, where
on the play.
Like someone's watching and they're like, wow, that was a really good play. And like, you know, kind of like, make a note next to your name. So right. Like, as far as scouting, I want this person to just be aware or you know, guard against that scouts just look for points.
Right.
Even though good there point. Is the high end, you know, more assists, more goals or whatever it is, you know, maybe you do take a peek. So on some level it does matter. So mm-hmm. I agree with that, but it shouldn't really necessarily keep you up at night and, you know, have you worrying about if it's being tracked correctly. Because right. If it is a heavily scouted tournament, the play will dictate more of the interest than the points or this, you know, like the score sheet. I mean, it's always yeah. good. Like, yeah, you know, like
it's always good. And I think it does. If you're a scout and you go to a game, right, and you're looking at some, let's just say the scoring leaders for each team, right? Before, as you're, and you can talk to this more than I can because you have scouted, but you know, you look, okay, this kid's got a, you know, a goal and two assists in three games, right? I'm going to give him an extra, you know, maybe a little extra look, right? Where if you got goose eggs across the board in those three games, maybe, you know, not to say you're writing that kid off, but at least it, you know, as a scout, you're looking, okay, this guy's putting up some numbers, right? You got to go and you got to watch the game. And you as a scout, you know, I know you did that, because there's a lot of times where it might be the guy that technically had the third assist or the fourth assist that mm-hmm. actually made the play, right? And that's what a good scout will do. But I do, and I think that's where my agreement with this email or this message kind of came in, was like, you know, it does help kind of just get you on the radar a little bit, right?
Yeah, the separation.
Yeah, the separation. You're like, all right, hey, you know, Yandel's got a, you know, a goal and two assists already on the weekend. Like, we're in, you know, game three, game four now. Let's keep an extra, like, look on him, right?
I agree. That's why I'm, like, kind of in between here with, like,
a But stance. A good scout is going to watch the entire game, right?
Yeah, so not if it is heavily scouted, like, right. Yeah, it's not. So that's your hope, but, like, also mm-hmm. – If you are putting up points, and it is going to stand out, and you'll be able to, you know, get that extra look from the scout mm-hmm. because it's like, you know, they're getting these stats and it's like, all right, but then they can quickly be like, oh, that this kid's just a one dimensional player or whatever, like immediately, you know, go the other way with it too. So it's not the end all be all,
right.
But it does play a role, and it can help you separate in a short kind of tournament to you know, be noticed a little bit. But I just wouldn't get too worked up about, you know, the quality of tracking if your son is playing well and being able to play in this tournament, number one, and you know, just playing the game the right way to allow scouts to see that. The score sheet doesn't necessarily always reflect that. So
yeah,
but great question, great kind of like point, because it is kind of a little touchy, like one way or the other, right? You know, so
yeah. I will say, up and again, I keep like, but in Quebec they had three referees on the ice at the, again, they're 13 years old, and they were pretty spot on with the points. Like, you could just tell that they got it right because you had three sets of eyes on the play. So there wasn't much, you know, there wasn't too many plays where, I know around here, like you look at the half the time the guy that gets an assist wasn't even on the ice. yeah. Like the guys, but they were, very professional up there, and just having the three sets of eyes really, I think, help things. Not that you're paying attention to the score sheets much, but like you said, the best scouts, the best players, the best scouts are going to, you know, watch the entire body of work, not just the score sheet. So good.
Well, one last thing on that. Like you're talking about, for like a tournament like this, with undermanned,
referees, yeah.
Staff. Yeah. I wouldn't mind like a video replay to get it right. You know, so there could be someone, if they have quality footage or production on, you know, that I'm sure they do, you know, just to have someone dedicated to that, just so that it is right. I would agree with that.
So. All right. Good stuff. All right. This next one came in from Peg Bundy out in Scottsdale, Arizona. Little backstory. I think that might be an alias. Little backstory. Last week during a 10U game in Arizona, a parent had to be tased by the police. Wow. So here's the million-dollar question. Do you think the sport attracts people like this, or the costs parents pay for little Johnny to play make them nuts? Wow.
Peg. Oh, man. Before
I answer that out of control.
No, but before I answer the question, though, it's like being tased. I mean, like, you can speak to that, but that means it's really escalated. You know, so that's too bad that happened.
That's insane that happened at a 10U hockey tournament.
I know.
That's insane.
I would say it's a little bit of a combo. Like, the sport attracts a certain characteristic, usually good. And then on the, say, crazy side, it attracts, you know, just as many, I would say, where there's, I don't know, say, living through the kid and really putting so much into it and expecting something in return. And for those people that kind of look at it that way, you know, it causes a little discord as well. So I would go with, if you had to choose, I would say it would be maybe the costs that the parents pay, and they just can't handle not getting any results or satisfaction out of something that they're paying so much for. Yeah, that's my, you know, kind of two pennies right there. And
right
question.
Yeah, I think, like you said, I think you just crushed that thing, Motz. Like, that was it was a good answer. It really was. I think it's tough to say, because there's obviously a little bit of both, right? There's obviously there's crazy people in every sport, right? So I think the money is definitely a big thing.
Expectation. I think
unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, you could substitute cost. I mean, that's a factor into it, but I would say expectation would be the bigger driver.
Yeah. Well, good one there from Peggy B.
Yeah, Peggy B, Scottsdale.
I wonder how Al's doing.
I know.
Po Kai.
He had some good numbers on that gridiron.
Oh, yeah. That's why I wore 33 in college.
I used to watch that all the classic show.
Classic show.
Classic. All right. Hockey parents, are you tired of going to the same tournaments or just looking for an event that is truly unforgettable? If so, then listen up. Since 2018, MCN Sports Management has become a world leader in international hockey tournaments and tours. With tournaments in four different locations across Europe, there is something for all ages, whether it is an individual looking to join a team or full organizations looking to travel together. We have the perfect trip for you. MCN is in full swing preparing for their 2024 overseas events. They currently have openings for players and teams from U11 through U17 boys and girls divisions to compete in some of the most prestigious events in Europe, such as the Nord Cup, the Lions Cup, and the Bauer World Cup. Don't miss out on these unforgettable hockey tournaments and trips that you and your family will never forget. Visit them at mcnsm.com to learn more about each of their tournaments and how to join. That's mcnsm.com. and be sure to tell them that the Ring Shrink sent you.
All right, Mots, it is time for the My Hockey Rankings question of the week. And in this one, we put out on Instagram today, and it was like the comments were out of control. It was great. So I think it's, this is a good one for us to break down as well. So, and for anybody that's not on the gram, is it an unspoken rule to not sit on the opposing team side of the rink? Example, your kid's bench is on the right and 10 moms post up and refuse to move when kindly asked, hey, think your team is on the other side? ? Stressed walker parents / goalie parents, respectful individuals included. I'm talking 10 plus moms sitting intentionally on the wrong side of the rink for a championship game. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought it was just common decency. What do you think here for the myhockeyrankings.com question of the week?
As I think about it, it's just funny because who really cares
where
you sit? But what wouldn't you want to sit like with the rest of your... So I was just thinking like, so if it's a situation where it's 10 moms posted up, like who really cares? Like the other 10 moms go to the other side. Like,
yeah,
it's not your turf, you know? So if they're there, it's like, who really cares? But, and like, who would want to do something like that intentionally? It's like kind of ridiculous. So looking at it from just experience, like as I read through this, I was like, wow, like, yeah, you would want to sit with your group. And it so happened it was on the side of the bench. So it was like, I had no real clue about that, but.
So it almost doesn't make sense because most parents want to sit where you would shoot twice.
I know. Exactly.
So you're saying, are they saying they want to sit behind their own bench?
No. So it would be like, from what I'm gathering is like, yeah, actually it could be either way.
Okay.
But if you're looking at the bench, this situation that I'm talking about was so like the home team was on the left, so the home fans were on the left.
Okay.
You know, but facing the benches.
Yeah.
You know, so like, yeah, but like even behind the benches, like I would guess that you would be, you know, on that side as well. So this is kind of an interesting because some of the comments were awesome.
Oh, the comments are unbelievable. I literally think it's a hockey rink. Like wherever you sit, you sit. Like my wife would do this unknowingly. She wouldn't think about it. She'd just go and, oh, there's a group. Like I was at a game with her this year and she kind of walked in before me and it was a group of the entire other team's parents sitting down. And she went and like, basically there was open seats over at Warrior there. And she's like, oh, I'm just going to sit here. I'm like, I'm not sitting there. That's like the entire other team.
Yeah, enemy territory.
Yeah, and it was just like, and she's like, oh, I didn't know.
Whatever.
Like she just didn't pay attention. So, it could be even worse. Like Kevin Hayes, when his boys were at BC, he used to buy, he had a season ticket at each end of the rink so he could go back and forth in the offensive zone. because he wanted to be in the offensive zone at both ends, right? So, it's like, it's crazy because most parents, especially at the youth level, just kind of, they do like you either sit in one spot, wherever it is, it's basically wherever there's an open spot and there's your group that you're with, or you stand in a corner, or you're the pacers that, you know, have to go in the offensive zone every period and switch end.
But goalie. Like,
yeah, the goalie parents, they're doing the same thing. But I know me, you know, I kind of had grown, you know, my kids' entire lives, basically all three of their teams have always been on the bench. Now they're playing high school hockey. I'm
not
on the bench.
That's why I wasn't aware of it.
But right. But now I get to a rink wherever I like see an opening or maybe see a buddy that's standing in a spot. I go, I stand there and I just watch the game.
Yeah.
I don't think twice about it.
Yeah, you're a corner guy.
Yeah, I would stand in the corner, but some rinks, like say Warrior where CM plays, like it doesn't, if I can try to get into the corner, but a lot of times the parent, like other people are already there, so I can't get to the corner because that's probably the best sight lines and you can't
sit below on the glass. So I just stand up wherever there's open space and I stand there and watch the game. Like, that's it. I don't.
It is funny that you said that, though. You've been on the bench, but now this is where, you know, these parents have not, and, you know, they got in tune with it quicker at the, say, youth levels. And as I think about it, yes, it's usually on the bench side that you're rooting for, you the team that you're rooting for. But I don't think it's an unwritten rule or anything. I think it's just natural that it happens that way. And if it doesn't, there shouldn't be any kind of, say, ill will towards someone. Maybe they are just like Joanna and don't have a clue about, you know, sitting where she's supposed to or whatever.
Yeah. Are they going there and like heckling the coaches or the
well, that's the thing.
People on the other team.
It seemed like, you know, these people were doing it on purpose, which is absolutely ridiculous. Right. Yeah, like that's knowing it. And yeah. I wouldn't like that either. Like, you have some like rude people like cheering obnoxiously for the other team, knowing that, you know, your group is kind of already there. So I don't know. I think it's a good topic of conversation because I, you know, haven't lived
as a coach. I sure as hell had never once paid attention to
not
it.
A chance.
I couldn't tell you who's standing. If the stands are all behind me, I couldn't tell you whether it's the home team or the away team, like my parents or the other team's parents standing behind me. Wouldn't have a clue.
Exactly.
Never. You know, it was funny. We were standing. So there was the bartender at the hotel was, he was a character. Let's just call it that. And we're playing in the Videotron Center on one of our games. And the first time I kind of like, you know how you feel somebody like looking at you? Mm-hmm. So I looked behind me. The bartender was sitting behind our bench, came to support the team. And I looked at Coop. I'm like, dude, I'm like, the bartender's behind the bench. He's like, oh, yeah, I saw him in the first period. I didn't see him till the third.
Yeah,
I didn't have a clue.
You left an impression.
I didn't have a clue, but like, So that's how little I pay attention. Like, just focus what's on the ice.
Yeah, but I think it's it's kind of interesting because as you keep thinking about it, now I'm going to be very aware whenever I go into the rink and see it.
Yeah,
but that was a great question.
Where are you going to stand at the game tomorrow night? Why don't you go? You should go in the St. Seb student section and just stand there. Just be like, "What's up?"
Yeah, who's this old guy?
Yeah, what are you guys going to do?
I'll be on the glass somewhere. Actually, they're doing a good job of renovating that place, so you can stand up behind.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'll just find a spot depending on what time I get there, and you know, Availability is a huge factor with me too.
100%, 100%, yeah. But that's a good one. Great chatter awesome. On Instagram. When if you go on Instagram and look it up and look at all the comments, there's some classic ones that have been thrown out there. So great question. Great My Hockey Rankings question of the week. Good to see all that type of stuff, you know, really drumming up the conversation. Before we go here, great, really thank everybody for submitting questions to the mailbag. There was some awesome ones. Keep them coming in. And so we do have March 25th. We're starting up our defensive skills. We're going to do our Monday nights that sells out very quickly. So that's going to start up March 25th at 5 p.m. at Thayer Academy at the rink there. So you can log on to therinkshrinks.com. Again, the 5 p.m. slot is going to be the 2015s, 14s, and 13s. And then 6 p.m. is going to be the 2012s, 11s, 10s, and 9s. Again, that's 8 weeks, March 25th to May 13th. Mots, we really like working with those defensive specific. Easy for me to teach defense than it is to say specific, but it's always a blast, always sells out very quickly. So make sure you get to therinkshrinks.com and get signed up right away. Again, once a week, and we go over a lot of skating, a lot of defensive specific type of skills there.
Yeah, and you know, for those who may be listening, and because we've talked about it in the past, but I think it's very important. As coaches, we sometimes you don't kind of focus on the stuff that really matters for D. And in this camp, it's very specific to the D skills and the skating and the situational tendencies that they're consistently in on the back end, you know, whether it be retrievals, you know, so we break those the rink up into three zones and kind of rotate them through different skill sets, but retrievals, offensive blue line work, more skating, the pivoting that I wish I knew when I was younger, forward to backwards, and just efficiencies on edges, a lot of skating backwards and in those transitions. So it's fun for us to do. We have a blast, and over the 8 weeks you really get to know some of the kids and their personalities, and so it's a lot of fun. But make sure you check out theringshrinks.com for all the information and sign up, and we look forward to working with this group coming up. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, no, it always is. And then before we go, obviously, good luck to Rye. Hopefully they can pull out a big win on Friday, and good luck to the other teams. Obviously, by the time we come back next week, there'll be some MIAA games that have been taking place. Obviously, I know the prep schools are going to start up next Wednesday, and even out west, right, the Minnesota High School Tournament, all that stuff's going to be starting up pretty soon here. So good luck to all the teams, and we're hoping everybody, a lot of success, unless you're playing our kids, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, good luck to everyone during playoff time here. It's always the best time of year to be in the mix. And,
last weekend of the regular season for my 2011s here, too. It's kind of crazy.
It is. Kind of sneaks up on you after like the grind. It's like, oh
yeah. You're like, wow, we got playoffs in a week and a half. Like, it really is crazy.
That's great. But good show. Great questions. And keep sending those questions in, comments, anything that's on your mind. Love the participation. That's what keeps us going here.
Absolutely. Once again, just a reminder that this show was presented to you by Bet Online. In Jersey Shore, it is time to cue the Rink Shrink Shuffle.